I just want to welcome you today, and I want you to know that God is here to bless your life and bless your heart. One thing, though, that I pray is that, let us pray right now. Let us pray for our children's ministry. I want you to pray right now. You are praying and asking God that, Father God, we need new volunteers. We know August is a month that people go away on holidays, but we need our children to be in their own church, to be equipped and retooled and blessed. So shall we pray for our children right now? I want you to pray wherever. They are your children. They are your future, the future of this church, future of our nation. Can you pray that the atmosphere will be released for people to volunteer? If you're sitting here and you feel like, you know what, I want to volunteer, then this is your chance for you to say, look, I want to volunteer. Sasha is our children's leader, and you can go and see them, and you can go and also see Sharon also to help with the youth. Just pray for them for a minute, one more time. Keep on praying in Jesus' name. Oh, Father God, we pray that in your name that the heavens will be open. Father God, that the heavens will be open. Father God, the heavens will be open in your mighty name. Jesus Christ, we thank you and we pray that you release, Father God, the workmen and the workwomen, Father God, who open their hearts to be equipped and retooled and activated, Father God, to bless our children. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And please make this your prayer. And if you're here today or you're online today and you think, you know what, I believe that I'm cut for this ministry or my heart is for this, then we are ready to help you, to help our children. Amen. Today I'm going to speak on the topic, dare to be thankful. Dare to be thankful. Are you bold? Are you brave enough to give thanks to God? Verse I'm going to lead with is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. From the New King James Version, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. And that is incredible what God wants to do in our lives. And I remember very well that 4 weeks, 8 weeks ago, when we took a break, I was physically exhausted, emotionally tired, mentally exhausted, and spiritually tired. And I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity that I could even have and for the church to release me to have that break that we needed. I can assure that the first 2 weeks, I did not do anything but to rest because I needed that. Thank you. I needed that. I did not even watch your services. That was how tired I was. And it's not a bad thing, but I just want to know that I'm real, I'm not human. And today I would like to start this message with a story, my story, our story. And then we will get into the message and we keep writing things down. The Word of God commands us to give thanks. Whether we are in the church, whether we feel like, or we are outside the church, we should be thankful. That is the word of God, because it says, be in everything, give thanks, for this is the word, the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In some translations, it says that, be thankful at all times, for this is the will of God, or this is what God wants concerning you. And I'm wondering whether, like, you were tired and drained and exhausted, like I was, you feel like you want to give thanks. And then after 2 weeks, I realized that there are a whole lot of need, spiritual need, ministry need, that I have to tap into. So I started doing ministry. And for some of you, you know that almost every 2 weeks, I was there on Zoom with you on Saturday morning, teaching, and sometimes in the midweek, I was also teaching. So it was a bit of a rest, but also ministry. And the ministry on the other side is so they need someone and they need God. And I input into that as well. But I just want you to understand the church today and our history in South Street Baptist Church. See, I had that opportunity to sit back to watch your services. I had opportunity to sit back to participate in it. And I was so surprised with what God is doing in this church. The boldness with which people were ministering, the confidence, I could sense the presence and the power of God in what was going on. The worship could lift the roof. This is an understatement. You could feel God in it. And I have nothing but to dare to thank God and be thankful to Him for all that is happening here. I saw your boldness and your confidence, as I said, in ministry. I saw the demonstration of power by ordinary men and women in this church. I remember seeing Elder Yomi activated and excited about communion. I'm thinking, God, I've never seen someone so excited about communion in my life. That was incredible. And I'm thinking, God is at work. And I saw an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon men and women. I could feel and I could see the ministry that was going on. I saw healing. I saw salvation. I read about it. I saw compassion and love shown to the poor. And I have even seen demons cast out and the oppressed set free. That is my reality. I said I will start with a story. So this is the story that I'm looking at. And of course, whilst I'm there every now and then, I hear somebody's story and it breaks my heart. And I'm thinking, God, what can I do about this situation? And I'll fall on my knees and I'll be praying. And I said, God, can I still thank you? Yes, I would dare to thank the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, I am full of admiration and thankfulness to God and for all that you guys are doing here. For these, I dare to give thanks to God and for what you're doing. In fact, God spoke by the prophets and by our fathers. You see, that this is what He wants His church to be. God wants His church to be what it is right now. And a church, it's got to be a church where people have an intimate relationship with Him. And I see this happening in this church. And I pray and I challenge and I encourage you that begin to have an intimate relationship with God. If you're not having that relationship with God, I want you to be, because it's in that situation that you'll be able to thank God in everything, because this is the will of God concerning you. As I said, some of the stories are heartbreaking, but I was able to say, God, I thank you regardless of this. And I thank you that this is the will of God. It doesn't mean that where you are, the difficulty going through, is what God wants you to have. God does not want you to have those difficulties. Never listen to anybody who said God is bringing hardship over your life to teach you a lesson. What lesson? What have you done to God that He had to teach you a lesson? Is He your teacher? Are you in His school? God is not going to do it at all. If God wants to help you out, He will help you out. If He wants to teach you a lesson, you have no legs to stand on, because you'll be broken totally. So I want you to understand that even in where you are, in whatever situation that you are, don't think it is God who's brought that upon you. The enemy does a lot of things to suppress, to oppress, and to discourage you. And in this church, we are teaching you that when you see something which is not right in your life, which is really messing up your mental faculty, messing up your emotions, your sanity and your peace, you have to take authority and say, I'm not having this. Do you understand that? You tell yourself, I am not having this. I'm not having this. I want to change the situation. And we'll tell you how to change the situation. You've got to begin to pray and pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to begin to worship and declare and decree. That means when you decree, it cannot be reversed. You are using the authority that of the resurrected power of Jesus Christ. And that becomes amen for you. From there on, you have the ability to thank God in every situation. Hallelujah. Don't allow anything to oppress you. Don't allow anything to bulldoze over you. In fact, the power that God has revealed and released to you is bigger and mightier than what the enemy can bring. So begin to be bold like you are doing and say, I am not having it. I draw the line. Satan, you will not go beyond this line because I say so, because I'm a child of God. That's why we are talking about a church that needs to have intimacy with God. It's a church that, in this church, you see, the church that God wants us to be and want all churches literally to be. That's scripture, right? Because I'll bring scripture to you shortly. You see, it's not only to have intimacy with God, but a place where prophecy is fulfilled and the prophetic ministry is commonplace. You see, God wants his church to be a gathering where worship is not only singing songs and performances and picking the song that we love so much, but as a worship that is an experience of his presence. That means you have that kind of worship that you can experience his presence. In that way, when the presence of God comes, that means the very person of the Holy Spirit invade your space. And when he invades your space, he brings his power to dispel anything that is not of God. And he brings his peace over your life. And when that happens, you see that you are in a different space of life. And that's the kind of worship that I've been experiencing in the past weeks as I watch your services. And you don't only have to do it in church, but you got to do it at home. And when the situation is dispelled and open, then you are in a place to say, God, you know what? I thank you in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And I want to do that. I want to start this message with a story. So God wants his church to be a church where the word of God is not only talked about, but preached and accompanied by the manifestation of the Spirit's power. We don't want to only just talk about words. You see, I've been properly trained in the seminary, in the Baptist seminary, and further training in other places. But I just want you to understand that, you see, we cannot stand on the pulpit and just talk about words or talk about stories. Because the Bible tells us, we know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of words, but it's of power. So if you want to talk about the word of God, then it's got to be demonstrated by power. And that's the kind of church that God wants for every community that meets in the name of Jesus Christ. Whether it doesn't matter what your denomination, whether you're a Baptist, a Catholic, a Methodist, or Pentecostal, or whatever denomination, God wants his church to be a church where the word of God is not only talked about him, but is preaching accompanied by the manifestation of the Spirit power. Indeed, our own history in South Street Baptist Church tells us that there has been instances of the Spirit's presence where people felt a tingling in their bodies. People falling down sometimes, others crying with tears in their eyes, and some getting saved. These few instances have been recorded in our minute books. Yes, this church's minute book, and is celebrated in the past. But I just want you to know we are in the end times, and we are in the time of fulfilling prophecy in our church and in our community. And for that reason, you see, these things that we read in our minutes are telling us that these things and where we are has happened before, but we are so privileged to see, as it were, the outpouring of it. And let us look at what the word of God says about his church. Turn to Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29 and verse 32. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29 and 32. And it said, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servant and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Keep on moving, please. I'll pour out my spirit in those days. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. And as the Lord has said, among the remnants whom the Lord calls. Now, we're here as the remnants of God because this church has been here, this building has been here for 149 years. Yes, next year will be 150 years that we've been here. And we hear stories of that. And The church was so different 150 years ago. Even 100 years ago, it was very different. And it's so different now. And the community that feels it right now is also very different. But we are so privileged that we are the remnants of God, what God is going to do in this community. That God is saying, I'm going to pour out his prophetic ministry. He's going to cause people to see visions. He's going to cause people to prophesy. He's going to see the outpouring of his spirit. And as I watched the service last week, there was an outpouring of the Spirit of God here. Yes or no? Right. And when the service finished, I was just sat down. And I'm thinking, oh God, I wish that I could see what's going on. I wish I was there. And all that went through my mind, I know they are going to continue ministering. And I'm sure they did continue ministering. It was so powerful. And I just want you to understand that these things, our fathers yearn to have them. Our Baptist fathers of Southside Baptist Church wanted to have them. They did not have it the way we are having. And we should be confident and we should be strong and we should be in the position to be thankful to God that we are in this dispensation. And therefore, we should open our hearts for God to touch us in a powerful way so that we can transform and change lives in our homes, in our community, in our situations. Amen. You see, God is not, He does not look at your face and said, oh, because you are this, you are that, I'm going to do that. God doesn't care which, class you come from. Doesn't care what education, what your background, the color of your skin, the way you speak, whatever it is. God says, I'll pour it on my men servant and my maid servant. I'll pour it on my young and my old. I'll pour it on all flesh. That is what God wants to do. So that means you, me, each one of us. And if God is doing that, you and me, we have a privilege to be thankful. You see, after Jesus Christ's resurrection, he also said this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is what Jesus Christ said. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. You see, what Jesus Christ meant is that this remnant, this dispensation, the end time prophecies being fulfilled, and his command for us, and his resurrection power, and his authority, and his gift to us is that we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. So that means each one of you need to have the Holy Spirit to be poured out on you. Are you hearing that? Poured out is not just a sprinkling. It should come upon you powerfully. It should fill you, each one of you. You see, a lot of Christians just want to be Christian. I've been a Christian for a whole long time, decades. And I just want you to understand that we've come to, read the Word of God and then we just think, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit should come. But it's got to be your reality. It's got to be your experience so that you don't only talk about it, but you experience it. When you talk, then you know this is what is happening. I was ministering, one bank holiday was, I was away with a group of, church leaders. And as I was ministering to them, I was sharing from 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, and then to 5. Now I was saying, look, whatever I'm going to tell, verse 1 to 3, I'm sorry, whatever I was going to do is not what I've just learned, but something that is my reality of experience, and I want you to know that I'm not going to talk to you about theories, but I'm going to talk about experience of who God is, and God needs to be real. So today, I just want you to understand that God needs to be real in your life, and you have to hold on to that God that you have, because our God is real. And if God is not real to you today, then you are not intimate enough. Do you understand that? If God is not real to you today, you don't feel him, you don't experience him, you don't, see his power, you're not bold enough to take authority over situations and change situations, that means you are not intimate enough. Right? I don't fall apart that easily when I encounter issues. I don't fall apart. You see, the boldness that I've got is the intimacy that I've got with God. And as a believer, you cannot be falling apart. This is not just being foolhardy, but I just want to tell you that's what God wanted you to do. And in that meeting, there was such a demonstration of power and experience that people want more. Afterward, they had a Q&A session for probably nearly an hour, and they were so surprised, the answers that they were getting. And they wanted more. They wanted to sit me down for another two sessions, but I didn't have much time to do that. So I just want you to come to this. But today, this prophecy that Jesus Christ talked about, and this promise, the prophecy of Joel, and the promise, and the promise that Jesus Christ said that we receive power, Joel talks about an outpouring of the Spirit and release of the supernatural in our lives as Christians. And Jesus talks about the power to be able to minister in your home, your Jerusalem, minister in your family, your extended family, your community, that's Judea, then go further and further out to the world like we're doing and now broadcasting to the world. Jesus, this prophecy has been fulfilled and continue to be fulfilled in this church, in our time, as we preach and teach the whole counsel of God. For that reason, I dare to be thankful to God. Amen. So what does it mean to be thankful? Write something down right now. It is showing gratitude for the grace we receive. It's showing gratitude for the grace we receive or extended to us from others, in this case from God. It's showing gratitude for the grace we receive or extended to us from others, in this case from God. Thankfulness is a virtue that comes from a heart. A heart that recognizes that everything we have and all that we are is because of God's goodness. So if today I am so thankful for this church, for my house, for my family, and for you as my brothers and sisters, it's for the reason that is coming from my heart, and I recognize that everything that I have and all that I am is because of God's goodness. Hallelujah. So each time you are thanking God, you are saying, God, I recognize deep from my heart, it's become part of me that everything that I have and all that I am is because of your goodness. Hallelujah. If you don't recognize this in your heart, you cannot say thank you. Do you understand that? And we have an old song, say, count your blessings and name them one by one. And it will surprise you to know what God has done for you. And I'm asking you, have you counted your blessings? Have you named them one by one? Have you thought about the good things that happens to you? Never mind the bad things. You'll be surprised that the bad things are much fewer than the good things that happen to you. And sometimes certain things happen to you which are so good that you're thinking, who am I that I should receive this goodness? It's because God has chosen to show you favor. Hallelujah. So what happens when we give thanks? Number one, we affirm God's goodness. This is a teaching moment now. We affirm God's goodness. Psalm 107 verse 8 says that, oh, that man will give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that man will give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That is Psalm 107 verse 8. You see, every time that we give thanks to God, you see, we are affirming that he is a good God. Praise comes out of our mouth to acknowledge his mighty acts, and worship acknowledges who God is. God has been good to you. God has been good to me. And your family and my family. He has given you health. For some of you, he has prospered you. The fact that you are not on a hospital bed today means that God has prospered you in your health. The fact that you have a job that you can work and come up with a salary or a wage. The fact that you are able to draw on your social and you are not starving and lying on the road. God has prospered you. See, prosperity is not only about, being afflicted with wealth, but having enough to live on, having enough to get by. See, God has delivered you from the oppression of the enemy much more. And for a whole lot of you, you've gone through inner healing and deliverance in this church. Some have even had personal deliverance. And most of the time we pray, when God reveals something to us about someone, we pray and we'll cover you time and time again until we see a breakthrough in the spirit. And then we move on to what God wants us to do. God has been good to you. Number two, what does it mean And what happens when we give thanks to God? It releases God's presence. When we give thanks to God, it releases God's presence. So never mind what you are going through. It may be painful, but I just want you to know that I'm not telling you theories, because these are the things that I see in my life, and I see in the life of people that I come across, and I'm sharing this with you, or people that I've ministered to, and I'm sharing with you as reality. You see, what happens when we give thanks to God? It releases God's presence. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5, it reads that, enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your heart and in his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. You see, God's presence is available to those who have a thankful heart. You see, when you have a thankful heart, God gets closer to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, it's a teaching moment, so I'm not too animated. So, God's presence is available to those who are thankful in their heart. If you are not thankful in your heart, you don't expect God to be close to you. Because it says, be thankful at all times, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And sometimes all what I hear in people is moaning, 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 and moaning. You see, if you are full of complaining, you can never be thankful for any reason. Do you get that? You see, unless you learn to be thankful, then you will forever be complaining. So when you are thankful, it will overshadow every level of complaint that you have, because something good is in the way. Every time you give thanks, God releases his presence upon you. When you face a difficult situation, the best way to overcome is to give thanks to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I remember just about, 12 hours before we had to fly out, something ridiculous happened. But you know what? I had so much peace in my heart. And I started thanking God whole day. I couldn't believe that I could do that. But everything turned around. One day I will tell you more about the details, otherwise I run out of time. And because of giving thanks in a very, very difficult situation, God gave me peace. I was just so peaceful. So many instances, even when we landed at the airport here. But God gives you peace. God gives you faith. And God will give you the strength you need to succeed overcoming that situation. Hallelujah. You see, the Bible says, in everything let us give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. I never understood it so much than when I saw myself in so much difficulty. And I started giving thanks. It looked so foolish. But then I didn't even say, God, I thank you, I thank you. But a song came to my heart. And that song, I realized it was a song of thanksgiving. I sang it over and over and over. And each time I sang it, my confidence level rises. Each time I sang it, I felt so peaceful, even though the problem was still there. Do you understand that? I felt so peaceful. And when I had that peace of God in my heart, I know that the solution was there, just in the corner. And did not God intervene and solve it for me? I'm extremely grateful. I dared to thank God. So today I want to recommend for you that dare to be thankful to God. Dare to be thankful to God. Dare to be thankful to God. What do we mean? What happens when we give God thanks? Number three, anxiety gives way to prayer and worship. When you learn to give thanks, even when you are anxious, when you are in a difficult situation, when the situation is breaking your heart, dare to be thankful. Hallelujah. Dare to be thankful. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, it says that, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, not some things, in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, by prayer, go back for me, by prayer See, that means as you pray, as you plead with God, with thanksgiving, let your request be made to God. It means that you still have a problem. You're still in the problem. You're still hurting. You're still confused. You're still all over the place. You see the problem, but you see God more. Hallelujah. You see the problem, but you see God more. As you pray, as you plead with Him, as you give thanks to God, you see that suddenly you are getting closer to God and you see God more. It's just like you're in a vehicle and you are traveling and you see some mountains and they feel like they're far, far away. Now, as you drive and you get closer and closer, the mountain becomes bigger and bigger. What has changed? What has changed is that you are getting closer and closer to the mountain. So when you get closer and closer to God, you see God more than the problem. Hallelujah. And soon you leave behind where you are and you find yourself closer to where God is. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So whenever we give thanks in everything, even in the most difficult situation, our hearts are moved in line with God's will. And instead of being anxious, you realize a sense of peace come over you. This makes it easier for you to praise and worship God. At that point, the atmosphere around you is released from its weight. That means its heaviness. And your realm, that means your surrounding, is saturated by presence and power of God to find solutions and way out of that difficult situation. Now, the fourth point, what happens when we praise God? I'm not talking theories. I'm telling you what really happens. What happens when we give God thanks? I mean, in every situation. Because it's be thankful in everything. And everything, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, all for you. Number four, God opens and extends His favor to you when you are thankful, when you show Him gratitude for everything. You see, favor means access. It means special treatment and special privileges that we get from God or sometimes from people. Favor does what money can't do for you. When you are grateful, God gives you favor with your boss, yeah, the people you work for. When you are grateful, God gives you favor with the authorities that you have to deal with. Favor with even judges and lawyers and favor with at your school and favor with people you come in contact with. And around you, and many more. It's as if God has marked you for something good to happen because you are learning to be thankful to God. He opens and extends His favor to you. There's a gentleman in this church that he lost his job. I mean, just spring, early spring, whatever it is. And I say, you know what? We are going to pray for God. Though you made it redundant for God to really find something for you. And I've been praying. And each time I'm on the guy's back and I say, hey, what's God doing? So I've got this interview, I've got that. I say, keep on going. I mean, because first the person said, oh, I'm just going to interview to fill out. I said, no, hang on a minute. You're not going to go to interview to fill out. You're going for interview to get a job. Do you understand that? Mindset. You see, because some people say, oh, I'm just going to go for an interview and come back. The interview is supposed to employ somebody, right? So why don't you want you to be employed and you just want to be a number? Are you getting me? I'm trying to put some confidence in the Lord in you because you have God upon on your side and you want God to give you access. You want God to give you a privilege. God, you want God to literally open some doors to give you special treatment in spite of everything. And anyway, yesterday, cut matter short, yesterday I just sent a guy a test and I said, hang on a minute. Tell me what is happening. He said, oh, we, the expression, the person, we have a contract. Hallelujah. We have a contract, a rolling contract from, I mean, 6-month rolling contract until end of 2023. And I'm thinking, hallelujah. I thought I understood that, so I said, I mean, by being cheeky, I said, what do you mean by we? And the person came and said, well, because we've been praying. I said, we give God the glory. Because God is willing to give you special treatment. He's willing to give you access. He's willing to give you special privileges because you've learned to be thankful to God in all things. You see, the opposite of not giving thanks is this. When we do not give thanks, we show an ungrateful heart. If you don't give thanks, you show an ungrateful heart. That means you are not grateful. Because thanksgiving comes from the heart. So if you don't show it, that means your heart is not grateful. Do you understand that? It's deep within. When your heart is ungrateful, then nothing good comes out of it. Everything that comes out of it, in spite of the situation, is negative, 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 negative. Because when God gives you a job, right, you prayed and God has given you a job, then you got to be grateful. Continue thanking him. You may find difficulties in there, but I just want you to know that even in the difficulties, begin to thank God. Show him a grateful heart, and God will give you special privileges. God will give you access. God will open doors for you. He will change the situation, and you have authority to say, hang on a minute, this situation got to be changed. It will not stand. I'm a child of God. I am favored of God. Why should I go through this warfare? You reverse it, right? You reverse it. Say, these difficulties go wherever you are coming from. I reverse it. I don't care who brought it. Let them get it. Why should you get it? Hallelujah. You see, I'm teaching you to be bold because I've fought lions, right? And I've fought beasts. And therefore, I understand how to win battles in the spiritual. And I'm teaching you to do the same. Because a lot of preachers, they know the word of God cerebrally. But when they come to a problem, they fall. I've seen great men and women of God, and when they come into problems, they just melt. And I'm thinking, well, you were preaching to all these hundreds and thousands of people. How come you're melting? Because they've never won any battle in the spirit. And today I'm just teaching you that part of our battle to be won is in the spirit, and it's being thankful. So an ungrateful person does not express or demonstrate gratitude. A person with an ungrateful heart says, I don't need to say thank you because they know I am grateful. The problem with this way of thinking is that you can't know what the other person is thinking if you don't say it. Do you understand that? It is when you express what you feel that the other person will know that you are indeed grateful. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. So if you are thankful, it will come from your heart. Shall we take, a last scripture reading here so that will help us to understand where we're going. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. This is Jesus Christ on the way to Jerusalem. And he said, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. But those are districts in that part of the world. When we say Samaria, that means a place that people are very confused about their faith. And we say Galilee, they're okay, but too religious. So he was passing through that place. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And so it was. As they went, they were cleansed. You see, go show yourself to the priest, literally, it's a powerful statement. It's as if, go and see the doctor for them to give you a medical checkup to confirm your healing. Do you understand that? It's as if you have taken a medication. And after you've taken the medication, for a while, you have to go to the doctor to check that you're okay, right? Because at that time, the people who had knowledge about the spiritual things concerning sicknesses and who had knowledge about physical ailment were the priests, because they were educated, they were studied. And therefore, go and show yourself to the priest. It's a sign to tell you that you have been healed. Now go and receive a certificate to prove that you're okay. Just like you're going for a COVID test to show that you're okay, right? Does that make sense to you? Exactly. That's what we think. That's what Jesus told him. So go and show yourself to the priest. And as it was, when they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Not even a serious Christian. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, I want you to note something in verse 18 where Jesus Christ repeated a statement. He said, were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not any that found who returned to give thanks? So you can see the disappointment and the irritation in Jesus' heart. But then he was also trying to say, look, there is the need for you to say thank you. So today when you woke up, have you said thank you to God? Have you said thank you to God for the job that you're having so much problem with? Have you thanked God for your children that you're having so much problem with? Have you thanked God for your businesses that you are struggling with? Have you thanked God for some of the difficulties that you are facing right now in your life? Are you daring to say thank you? That's what Jesus Christ is saying. Do you dare to say thank you? Were there not? Have you considered what God can do for you? Have you thought about what he is capable of doing to you? Have you thought about that his word can be spoken and as you act on it, something can change in your life? Have you thought about it? Were there any? Hallelujah. Were there any found who returned to give thanks? How many times have you returned to give thanks? And sometimes what breaks my heart is that sometimes people say, Pastor Gideon, pray with us to get a job. And when they get a job, they don't even thank God. Then later they say, oh, I'm so busy my job. So they have replaced thanksgiving with the job that they've got. Really? So the job becomes priority. So, but if I don't do the job, I might lose it. Do you understand that the God who gave it to you is able to make a way for you? Have you thought about that? None of us have a right to have a job because none of us was born with a job or a title or a post. Why you? If you were, tell me, and that would be the most amazing miracle that I've ever seen. We were born with nothing. We don't have a right to have a job, but God opens up an opportunity and a way for you to have a job. Do you understand? That's why you go for an interview and they decide who they want. But God chooses to show you favor and kindness and give you access to have that job. So for that reason, you've got the right to have that job. And when you have a right to have that job, you have a right to pray to have that job as long as you have. But make sure that God is always priority. Do you understand that? And the way to do that is to thank God for what he is doing. So in essence, giving thanks builds our faith. Say, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Giving thanks confirms the faith that we have in God and shows our spiritual maturity in him. Not showing gratitude and giving thanks to God in everything is disobedience. And one does not receive the fullness of the blessings which would otherwise come to you. So, to conclude, you may be asking, Pastor Gideon, you said all these things, but what is different here? Now, some practical things that you may have to put in mind. You may be asking, who should we be grateful for or dare to be thankful to? First and foremost, always be ready to thank God for his mercies and his goodness. Thank God for his mercies and his goodness. It is his mercies. Sometimes even when we get it wrong, his mercies come to set us free and release us. Sometimes when we mess about and we just turn left or right instead of going straight, his mercies and goodness brings us back onto the right path. We should secondly be grateful and thankful to our spiritual fathers, for those who equip us and given us a spiritual covering. We should be thankful for their lives. It's very important, because when you are thankful for their lives, then they are able to open your heart to bless you. Even the Bible tells us that people who watch over your life, make sure that you literally thank them for what they do. You see, we should also thank God for our families. That's the third point. You see, for their love and provisions they give to us. You see, sometimes we think our families don't love us. I mean, I've got ladies who are, maturing and growing. And I sense that they wanted so much for their family, their parents to come home. And so it was. And the moment we came home, we saw something change. So we've got to learn to thank our family for their love that they give us and for their provision that they have. Every parent loves their children. Sometimes some go through difficult challenges that they are not able to handle, and sometimes they project upon you. It doesn't mean that they don't love you. When their situation changes, you see the love come through. So we have to be thankful for our families. We have to be thankful for authority figures. You see, when we talk about authority figures, we're thanking them for direction and order and stability that they bring to our lives. We thank God for your bosses, your managers, your supervisors, your team leaders. They are authority figures over you. Even the nation, the police and everything. I mean, anyone that you have to deal with who has oversight over you has an authority figure. And you have to learn to be thankful for their lives, for the direction they give you. Because they don't direct you, there'll be chaos and disorder, and there'll be no stability in your life and in the workplace. In addition, you should be thankful for your pastors, your mentors, your House of Peace leaders, and the people who make life worthwhile in your life. Finally, you should be thankful for anyone who has blessed your life in any way. I'm extremely thankful to people in this church that when I decided to come full-time, I had to take a massive cut in salary. I was a little bit anxious about that. And we had only money to pay for 2 months' salary. 5 years on, we've never missed a salary. And that is an incredible generosity by this church. Do you understand that? Because out of your generosity, we are able to pay our bills, we are able to pay our staff, and we are extremely grateful. I just want you to understand that we are extremely grateful for whatever money that you put in the offering or put in the bank account. We are extremely grateful for us to continue to bless you, to equip you, and to serve you in every capacity that we can. You see, Baptist churches are independent churches in fraternal. So that means there's no headquarters where they have money, like the Church of England, that if there's no money in the church, they will send money down to the parishes. Everything comes from every individual in the church. So you look after the church. Everything that you have here belongs to you. And we are your servants. We are grateful. And we say thank you. Hey, finally, I just want to say thank you to the leaders of this church and the service leaders and the watchmen and everyone in ministry, the young people who are behind the desk and everything, that for these 7 weeks, you guys have worked tirelessly to let ministry go on for God to be blessed. You've worked tirelessly to minister to grace and to pray for people for deliverance, for healing, and for provision. And I thank God for your lives. You have prayed for miracles in people's lives, and God has been doing miracles. I just want to say thank you for what you have done. Some of you are looking after the building. Some of you are looking after the cleanliness of it. Some of you are looking after the finances. I mean, you're doing all sorts of things in this church. And I'm saying that I'm extremely thankful. And it's from the bottom of my heart. I'm grateful to God for your lives. And I say that God should prosper you. God should release you. God should replenish you. And God should expand your capacity to receive and release abundance into your life. Amen and amen. Shall we stand? Hallelujah, Lord. Can I have the musicians up here? Now we're going to pray. And I want you to pray a prayer to give thanks to God for his goodness, for his love, and for his mercies and his provision and his healing and deliverance in your life. Pray to God and thank God for his goodness for your life. Thank God for his love for your life. Thank God for his mercies for your life. Thank God for his provision and healing and deliverance in your life. Thank God. Some of you, God is healing you emotionally because the sickness or the pain that you are carrying is nothing that the doctor can heal, but only God can heal you. And I pray that, thank God. I want you to thank God in spite of that. I want you to, don't just keep quiet. You cannot pray in your mind. You have to pray and talk it out, because that is how that God really hears prayers. He can hear you, but you have to speak it out. Hallelujah, Lord. Please thank God for something. Has God been good to you? Has God shown some love to you? Has God been merciful to you? You've messed it up and God said, hey, you know what? I forgive you. Has God made a provision for you? Have you eaten today? Are you able to pay your bills? Are you able to travel? Are you able to buy your travel card? Are you able to feed your children? You've got a reason to thank God. Are you able to receive healing from God? Hallelujah. I can't hear you guys praying. Don't be afraid to pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Father God, I thank you for your church. Father, today I pray, and I pray for healing. Father, I pray for healing. Father God, I pray that your hand will be stretched over your church right now to heal the hearts, to heal the minds, to heal the soul, and to heal the body in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for healing. And I pray for deliverance from the oppressed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray, let the oppressed go free. I demand that the oppressed will go free. I demand that the oppressed will go free. If you are troubled today, I demand that you be free in the name of Jesus Christ. If you are worried and disturbed right now, I demand that you be free in Jesus' name. Today I free your minds. I free your minds. I free your minds. I free your minds in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Today I decree that you'll be set free right now in Jesus' name. By the resurrection power of the Lord, today I pray that you'll be free in Jesus' name. That you receive your healing to the utmost. I pray that you receive your healing to the utmost. And today I pray and reverse any negative thing that is coming over your life that has been recurring. Today, I reverse it in Jesus' name. Today, I reverse it in Jesus' name. Today, I uproot it in Jesus' name. Today, I decree and I say that anything that is of a generational nature, Father God, I pray and I decree that, Father God, today, I cut it out. I cut it out. I cut it out in your family. I cut it out in your genogram. I cut it out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Today, anything that has repeated in your life that has not worked for your good, today, I stop it now in the name of Jesus. By the authority invested in me, by the resurrected power of Jesus, that it will not occur anymore. Today is the end of it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Father God, I thank you. I thank you. And today I'm praying, oh God, I'm praying and, Father God, releasing your people, Father God, from the works of the evil one. Father God, anything that is tormenting anyone here right now, I pray in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I release them of the torment. I release them of the torment in the name of Jesus. Father God, I set them free. I set them free. And today I say, stop. Anything that is tormenting you, I cause it. And today I speak to it and I say, stop in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive the goodness of God. Receive the goodness of God. Receive the goodness of God. And today I also want to pray for a group of people. Right now, that if your heart is full of offense or pride or lack of thankfulness, today I want you to receive the grace of God. I want you to receive the grace of God so that you can be thankful. I pray that your heart will be released from the pain that you're going through. That your heart will be released from the offense that you are holding on to. Let go, let go, let go. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. If you're here and you think that you don't need to be thankful, I just want to pray and I cast out every spirit of pride in you. That today you begin to know that you need to be thankful in all things. For this is the will of God concerning you. Hallelujah, Lord. I praise my God. I praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise you that in everything you said we should give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us and concerning us. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Father God, I thank you for the leaders of this church. I thank you for the mentors of this church. I thank you for the House of Peace leaders, oh God. I thank you for our pastors. I thank you for our volunteers that give their lives, Father God, pricelessly to this church. I thank you for their lives. And I pray, oh God, that you release assets, special favor, Father God, privileges into their lives. And Father God, I pray that, Father God, their hearts will be full with thanksgiving unto our God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Please take your seat. Hallelujah, Lord. You can take your seat. And I pray that today will be a good time for you to go and say thank you to somebody for what they've done for you. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. We should dare to give thanks to God. Amen. Amen. A good way to show gratitude to God is to give a special thanksgiving offering to him right now. And I'm going to give a call that Pastor Gideon gave, and thank you for the preach. That was powerful. He said, God opens and extends his favor to you when you are grateful. Favor does what money cannot do for you. It says, because God is willing to give you access to special treatment when you are grateful. If you don't show thanks, you are ungrateful. Amen. So we're going to show gratitude.